SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Aha, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike Smith.
Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. I'm Scott Wetzel, sitting in for Joe Lisi, who's out to on assignment, as the industry used to say, as I date myself. Alongside is George Kurtz, as we'll take it right up until 1 o'clock Eastern Time, talking NFL in mode, and we have a lot to talk about. Bills and Eagles get in, Colts, Chargers, and Raiders win, and they'll be in. Antonio Brown is out of his mind. Packers are number one. Deja vu all over again. Colts, Raiders give the boys in Vegas the finger. Where are those offensive lineman fans now? And we'll get to all those stories, plus preview tonight's Cleveland-Pittsburgh Monday Night Football game. What's going on, George? How are you on this Monday afternoon here on the East Coast?
I'm good. Right, getting a little snow here in the East Coast as well here, supposedly, our first of the year, so we'll see how that works out. You're right, tonight, a little disappointing, though. This game actually doesn't mean much other than Ben's last game in Pittsburgh. Again, for Ben, good riddance.
Yeah, Love playing on the teams, George, believe it or not, that end up not having to play for anything like Cleveland does. You know, they thought heading into yesterday they had a shot, but the way things worked out, they were eliminated. And I know most people like to bet against those, hence that line going from Cleveland favored by 3 to now Pittsburgh favored by 2.5, 3, depending on, you know, where and when you do your shopping. And I like playing on those teams because of the line movement. And believe it or not, these guys are prepared all week to play. And I know there's a little bit of a letdown, but I think they take out their frustrations on the following game. But that all said, knowing it's Big Ben's, you know, more than likely last game, that's how they're viewing this in Pittsburgh. Boy, I have find it hard to believe the Steelers won't come out and beat Cleveland. And we all know his numbers against Ohio teams are so great anyway. So I really, on initial surface, I love Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they will be a letdown by Cleveland, knowing they're, in my mind, maybe the most disappointing team in the NFL for what we expected from them this season. Not that they were really going to the Super Bowl, but they would certainly make the playoffs, probably win the division, you know, or at least compete for it, and then to be done in Week 17, disappointing. Now we're going to have the Baker Mayfield mess all offseason long. Is he a franchise quarterback? Is he our franchise quarterback? What do we do? We already had Beckham during the season here. So not a lot of easy things going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, no, they thought to rid themselves of, you know, the Bengals have kind of rid themselves of the Bungles, and we thought maybe the Browns had rid themselves, but, you know, of the Marvin Lewis days, but it doesn't, you know, their Hugh Jackson days, rather. It doesn't, they're right back into the soup. Boy, we got so many storylines to get to today. Great performance by Joe Burrow. You know, where are all those people that said that the Bungles should have drafted an offensive lineman? Now, what a bunch of mopes. We got a bunch of teams clinching yesterday. We got a couple of others that put themselves in a position to clinch. We got the emotional win by the Raiders to get to, but, you know, you have to really lead the program off with goofy Antonio Brown. What a just an absolute mess. I guess the story today, George, is that his ankles were bothering him, as they have over the preceding 3-4 weeks, and that's why he didn't go in the game. I doubt very much that he made the coaches aware of that. I don't get the sense that Bruce Arians said, okay, go in the game, and Brown said, no, my ankles are hurting, and I'm sorry, so I'm going to kick you off the team. I doubt very much. It sounds like that's a hindsight 2020. He's just bonkers. I have zero sympathy for his. You know, when we say people are nuts, we do it on the premise that they're really not, but they just act stupid. I don't know about Antonio Brown. I mean, I think he's legitimately nuts. I mean, I don't know what, you know, he has no business being in a football uniform. He's bonkers. He just is.
You know, Scott, you and I are the same, around the same age. We've been watching football forever. I have never seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that in any sport, where a guy just literally throws his uniform away and just walks out during the game. And if his ankles were bothering him, so it looked like it as he was going off, right? Running off, didn't
look, yeah, yeah, hopping up and down.
A limp there. I didn't see a limp. Yeah. You know what? I've never seen something like that, Scott. Never seen that. Of course, it's the PR machine isn't working now to try and cover his butt. See if he can get another job there in the NFL. But what? I mean, you can't be surprised. Right? He melted down with Pittsburgh, melted down with the Raiders. I wouldn't say he melted down with the Patriots, but they got rid of him before he could melt down. And how many chances have given Tampa Bay? Arians looks like an ass out of all this because he played two, three times. Even though we all know it was Brady who was sort of demanding that he play. And Brady looks bad out of this, too. They all look terrible. But that's the NFL for you. They'll let you get away with anything if they think you can help them win.
Yeah, and I'd like to say, or not necessarily like to say, but I, you know, I'm thinking, all right, this is it, last chance. No one's going to give him a shot, but you never know. It's the NFL, George. You know, he can still perform. We saw how well he played last year. We saw him play the big role that he played for Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl. You know, would there be some goofy head coach out there, you know, that in the thick of things right now? I mean, you put him on a team, you know, that they think that they're the coach's son. You know, the Seahawks come to mind, but obviously they're out of it. You'd have to find a team that, you know, how good would he look in an Indianapolis Colts uniform with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield? You know, there's a lot of teams that he would fit in. Where's the team that's going to give him the shot? But I wouldn't doubt it. You know, nothing would surprise me in the NFL as far as these guys getting opportunities to play. So, yeah, I've never seen anything like that on the football field. You know, NBA, I probably, if I thought hard enough, I could probably come up with a Derek Coleman, you know, situation where, yeah, I'm not playing, you know. So, yeah, in the NBA, I can imagine that happening before, but not NFL. It's just goofy. So, lot to get to. We'll get back into that. Joe Burrow's performance yesterday, nice win. The ugly performances by the Jets and the New York Giants.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Hey, welcome back to Pro Football Full Circle. I am Scott Wetzel sitting in for Joe on this Monday afternoon. Alongside is George Kurtz as we check out what's happening in the NFL. We'll run down all the games, all the storylines and everything. We got 1 hour to get to it all, George, so let's hop right to it. You know, I'm just going to go in order of not necessarily importance. I'll commit a radio sin here, but just in order that I have on my sheet. Oh, by the way, that's just how it goes. But I will lead off with Cincinnati beating Kansas City yesterday, 34-31. I got to tell you, this is Zach Taylor. Between him and the Bozo in San Diego with the LA Chargers, I don't think I've seen two more incompetent head coaches have as much success as they've had as these two guys. I don't know what the heck he was thinking of at the end of that game, going for it on fourth down when they kick the field goal and they go up by three, albeit with about 40 seconds left. I get that, but you know, when you've had four cracks at the 1 yard line and failed, and then you still are as stubborn can be, and try it again on a fifth down because of a penalty. I mean, why, if they would have lost that game yesterday and then ultimately not make the playoffs, I would have had no problem whatsoever if Cincinnati would have fired the head coach. That was one of the dumbest. I know it worked out, so, you know, everything's all great. But that was one of the dumbest sequences I think I've seen a head coach do in the NFL.
Oh, Scott, Zach Taylor gets no love on this show. I mean, Lisi absolutely hates him.
I know Joe hates him. Yeah, he hates him. He's a Nebraska guy like me, so he hates him back to his quarterback days. So
he hates a lot of coaches. Not a big Fangio guy, Nagy. None of these guys are getting Christmas cards or Happy New Year calls from Joe Lisi. Zach Taylor, there's quite a few coaches in the NFL. I mean, there's so many bad coaches in the NFL when you think about it. Not all of them are going to be fired because some of them are on winning teams. Zach Taylor's not going to get fired. Staley's not going to get fired. McCarthy's not going to get fired. But they're all bad head coaches. You know, they're not all great at what they do. I think Zach Taylor does hold this team down. I think for a while this season, I bring up the San Fran game over and over again with Zach Taylor. The way to beat San Fran was throw the football. Yet he was running through the first two and a half, three quarters. He decides to throw the ball once they're down by 14, 17 points. They catch up. They tie the game. They go to overtime. What does he do? Runs the ball again. And you wonder why you lost the game. You know, so just you have Burrow, you got Chase, you know, Boyd, Higgins, whatever. You got to throw the ball. That's where your bread's going to be buttered. Your money's made there. Throw the football. And sometimes it takes them a while to realize that. I understand you got Mixon, and you got a very good running back here, and you can use him. He'll never face an eight-man box, but establish the pass. Get Burrow into that comfort zone, and let's go. That's how your team is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of controversial stuff here, you know, that you could debate. Kansas City, you know, Cincinnati had a, George, first and goal at the two-minute warning at the one-yard line. Now, they could have allowed them to score, thinking, well, they're going to score eventually. Why not let them score from the one? And this way, we still have 2 minutes left, in essence, with Pat Mahomes and a couple of timeouts. But they don't. And you know, I don't necessarily have a big problem with it, but I kind of do. So that's question number one on Kansas City's part. Why didn't you just allow them to score from the one? And then number two, the sequence, like I said. I mean, first and goal at the one, they run. Don't score. Second and goal from the one, they run, don't score. Third and goal from the one, they run, don't score. Now it's down to 58 seconds, and Kansas City does not have any more timeouts. So if you kick the field goal there, you know, after the field goal and then the kickoff, Casey's getting the ball, you know, anywhere between 45 and then probably 50 seconds, right? But at least you got a three-point lead. Instead, they go for it on fourth down. They throw a pass. They're fortunate to get a hand-in-the-face penalty. That sets them up with a new set of downs, and then they're able to run out the clock and take a knee and everything else. But on that fourth down, you know, so it worked out. But I just, to me, that's crazy. And then I will tell you this, George. If, in fact, and I'm sure they're going to do MRIs and everything, that play in which Joe Burrow got hurt was that fourth down play. If the guy kicks the field goal, they probably win the game anyway, and you got a quarterback who's healthy. Now, you pray to the gods that Joe Burrow didn't re-injure his knee, and this was actually the other knee. And he limped off, and he was so bad that he couldn't do the final two plays, or at least the final one kneel down. So that tells me that that's a serious injury. I've seen a lot worse injuries from players who have hindered themselves a little bit easier, you know, more than him kind of limping off the field. So I wouldn't rule out this being a serious injury. And if that's the case, then Zach Taylor really has got to question himself.
Yeah, and listen, I thought they should have kicked the field goal as well, especially, I mean, they had like 19 tries there. The first couple weren't going in. I had to kick the field goal. So I was texting with somebody saying, I was using slightly stronger language. Kicked the field goal already. It did work out for them. You got the hands in the face penalty. I thought KC, I thought the same as you. Like, let him score a touchdown. You got 2 minutes to get the ball back. Let Mahomes go down and tie the game. Right? That's the same thing. And then, you know, it ended up working out, though, because if you take away the penalty, they would have had it, you know, about a little under a minute. So it would have worked out the same here. So I'm not going to blame Reed for that. We all know Andy Reed has issues, to put it nicely, with time management and what he should and shouldn't do there. So it would have worked out. The hands to face penalty. What are you going to do? Listen, I'll give this to the player who did it. He admitted it. You saw him go right away. Me, my bad. I did it. You know, that sort of thing. So I would have liked to have seen Casey get one last chance. It was an exciting game to watch. Fun game. Those are the kind of games you don't want to end.
Yeah. And how about Ja'Marr Chase? I can't help but go back to all the people that criticized Cincinnati at draft time when they said, oh, take the offensive lineman, Tanik Panay Sewell out of Oregon. You got to protect Joe Burrow. You know, he's coming off a major knee injury. And it's always been my philosophy, Joe, I'll create an offensive lineman. I'm not going to create a guy who can run a 4.3 40. You know, you can't create speed. You can't create catching hands. You just can't. I'll create a fat offensive lineman to help me block. And this Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, holy crow. And any thought about, you know, him sitting out last year at LSU hurting him, obviously that's thrown out the window as well. He's a rookie. I mean, a rookie. He's got 79 receptions, over 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, and you watch him play, it's like, you know, men against boys, as the saying goes. I mean, he is just phenomenal.
He's in another class. He's dangerous. If you're in the AFC North. I almost said AFC Central. If you're in the AFC North, you're like, oh, God. We got to deal with these two for the next God knows how many years? Yeah, that's fun. You know, they're going to be drafting guys to cover them. That's what's going to be happening in the AFC North now. You're going to see Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore have to draft cornerbacks to cover these guys, or else Cincinnati's going to score 1,000 points every time they play you. Baltimore has no secondary. Pittsburgh defense wilted in the second half here. Cleveland probably has the players right now to stick with them somewhat. But it's a problem. As for drafting the offensive lineman, I'm not going to call people who said they should morons. I mean, that lineman's pretty good with Detroit. You know, it may be a situation where they couldn't go wrong here, but they ended up making the right choice because Burrow and Chase have that relationship already. And boy, like I said, What was the problem he had in preseason? Well, there was no stripe on the ball, so he had trouble picking it up. Forever ago, right?
Yeah,
now.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, about that. Yeah, by the way, Burrow, 971 yards and 8 touchdowns in his last 2 games against Baltimore, which could make the playoffs, although probably won't, and Kansas City, which will make the playoffs. So against two, you know, good teams, we'll say, almost 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Wow. How about that? All right, Buffalo knocks off Atlanta 29-15. You know, Bills clinch a playoff spot for the 4th time in 5 years, George. Josh Allen runs for 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 3 more interceptions. You know, they were playing in snow. They had a 2-score lead with about 4 minutes left to go first half. They blow that somehow or another, thanks to a couple of interceptions from Josh Allen. And Atlanta actually takes the lead. You know, they didn't cover the monster 14-point spread. You got to push. But this Buffalo team, it's just, I don't know. There's something wrong with that offense. It's just, you know, 29 points, I get that. But this is not the team from last year. I mean, I'm tired of thinking it's going to come back. I don't think it will.
I mean, their team, they sort of remind me of the Cowboys. You catch them on the right day, they're dangerous, but they're not consistent. You don't know what you're going to get game in, game out. I know it snowed yesterday, but I don't think that – this wasn't the win game against New England. Like, oh, okay, all right, that was awful. You couldn't run your offense there. This wasn't that. You know, it was snowing, and you could play football in the snow. You could throw the ball in the snow. Vanderbilt, I think it was 3 straight possessions with a pick. You know, put Atlanta really back in this game. That's not good. And they had like, they had like 19 tries inside the 5-yard line at one time, too, and they took them forever to get in before Josh Allen finally ran it in. Like I said, they're not a team I would look forward to playing, but, you know, KC's better. Cincinnati might be better as well here. It's going to be interesting, the AFC, between those 3 teams. I don't think anybody else really has much of a shot.
Yeah, I think the AFC is really just as bad can be. It's amazing. All right, the pro football full circle continues after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Man, welcome back. Scott Wetzel sitting in for Joe. He'll be back tomorrow. Me and George taking you right up until the top of the hour, talking some NFLs. We run down all the games. We mentioned Cincinnati, KC, Buffalo, Atlanta. Raiders knock off the Indianapolis Colts. George, 23-20, 33-yard field goal. And here's just the fickle fate of, giving the boys in Vegas the finger, because literally it was the finger that prevented this game from going over. Got an over-under of 46, and it is tied at 20. Raiders driving. They throw a pass to Hunter Henry. The kid from Clemson. He makes the catch, falls to the ground, gets up, runs into the end zone, touchdown. Extra point will make it 27-20 with 40 seconds left. However, the replay showed that the Colts defensive back just literally, and I mean literally, got his finger on the receiver's foot. And that meant he was actually down at the 20-yard line or so, unable to get up and run for the end zone. They end up kicking a field goal. They run the final 40 seconds off the clock at the buzzer, 33-yarder, and the Raiders win 23-20. Ultimately, they still win the game. They still cover. But if you had the over at 46, 46.5, you're bumming today for sure. So, but the Raiders get a win, inspired win. Nothing better, and I'm not minimizing this. I just bring it up because we talk gambling here. I mentioned it. The LLs know that. Loyal listeners know. There is no better betting system in the world, bar none, than the death system. You know, when you have a sad death like we had with John Madden this week, I know he hasn't coached the Raiders in eons, but the Raiders are the one team, maybe the Packers as well, that loves to live into the history of things, and they made darn sure those players knew about it. And I don't know if they would have won or not. I didn't think they deserved to be a touchdown underdog to begin with, but they came through, and I thought the Raiders were going to win this game, and they did 23-20.
Yeah, I didn't think the Raiders would win, but I thought they'd cover. Yeah, I thought they'd cover there. I don't think Carson Wentz deserves to be a touchdown favorite over anybody. Yeah, he's the starting quarterback. Right, just not. He'll win some games, but it's not because of him. It's because of Jonathan Taylor, and the team as a whole is good. But he definitely holds them back. And they were in COVID hell all week as well. They had four fifths of the offensive line went down at one time. So it was just hard to see, for me to see them blowing out a Raiders team that needed to win the game. And now this week we get Raiders Chargers Sunday night. That'll be more than likely a win-get-in scenario.
Yeah, it is. Winner gets in, loser is out. New England is in. They knock off Jacksonville 50-10. Mac Jones, you know, here's the difference between two rookie quarterbacks. And this is kind of like the lost story in Jacksonville, George, and with all the stuff going on with them, with Urban Meyer, I get it. But Trevor Lawrence, three more interceptions, 14 for the season. He did have one touchdown pass. He has got nine all season, two in the last nine games. I mean, think about it. Two touchdown passes in nine games. I mean, he has been nothing short of atrocious. Mac Jones, on the other hand, he's got 18 touchdown passes after yesterday, only 12 interceptions. I mean, there's two rookie quarterbacks, you know, one more herald than the other. And Trevor Lawrence has been just awful as the Patriots win by 40.
I'll tell you, whoever their next coach is, it's got to be a quarterback guru at this point. They don't have a choice. They got to get him on the right track. You cannot have your number one overall pick looking like a disaster. He looks like the worst of the quarterbacks right now. Right, Mac Jones, okay, game manager, but playing well. Justin Fields has looked solid in a couple of appearances. Can't stay healthy, but he's looked solid. Zach Wilson is at least progressing. It's slow progress, but he's progressing. All right, so, you know, you got some issues here. You've got some issues here with Lawrence. It's got to be a quarterback guru in my mind, or an offensive guy who brings in somebody to help with Lawrence, because you've got to get this guy figured out. What a disaster this is turning out to be.
Yeah, they're going to get the number one overall pick. It's amazing. They play the Colts next week. Here's the scenario. Colts need to beat Jacksonville in order to clinch that, in essence, final playoff spot with the Raiders and Chargers squaring off for the other one. It's deja vu all over again in that before you write this down as an automatic W for the Colts, know that the game is in Jacksonville. Know that the Colts were in the same spot last year. Same exact thing. They needed to beat Jacksonville. Final day of the regular season. That game was at home. They did win 28-14, but if you remember, that was a one-score game with 4 minutes left. And if you want to tell me Jacksonville was better, think again. Don't forget Jacksonville had the worst record in the NFL last year. Colts have lost six straight games on the road against Jacksonville. So it should be a W for the Colts, but it should have been last year a lot easier than it was. So those teams that still are holding out hope for the Colts to lose, you never know. You never know. Speaking of losers, Giants get walloped by Chicago 29-3. What a mess. I don't know which team. We live here in New York, too. I don't know which team is in more disarray. The Giants or Jets. Saquon Barkley did rush for 100-plus yards yesterday, 102 for the first time in a while. They fall to 4-12. Bears get their second straight win. After the game, Joe Judge discussed with the media how his team basically sucks, but that's okay. They're not quitting. You got to, you know, play the system. You got to believe in this, and you got to believe in that, and trying to kind of rally the troops and give the Giant fans some hope. But I don't know. 2 years, it's been nothing short of disastrous as the Giants lay another egg. 24 yards passing. Think about this when you look at Joe Burrow. Mike Glennon, George, four of 11 for 24 yards passing. This guy played the whole game at quarterback. I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback throw for 24 yards playing the whole game. Wow, are they bad. They are just atrocious.
In today's NFL, where everything's geared towards the passing game. Everything.
Yes. Yeah.
You're right. And you're doing that. Oh, that's awful. That press conference, I think that press conference may, at the end of the game, may just force the Giants' hand here. I know they don't want to fire him, but I don't know if they have a choice anymore. Hey, that was a 20-minute rant he was going on, how, if you're in the organization, you see the progress. Really? Where's this progress? I want to see this. And then he tells everybody that, I love this. There are guys who used to play for us but are making more money elsewhere who called me and said they wish they could come back. Who are these players?
Yeah,
Bill Barnwell, by the way, if you go on his timeline, Bill Barnwell of ESPN did a breakdown pretty much for proving this is a lie, that this never happened. Because it's like when he breaks everything down for the players who were there, there's like 37 players, you know, then like 20 of them don't make more money, so they can't be knocked.
Those guys really? He actually went to that late? Wow, that's pretty good.
He goes bananas. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. The only guy that we can come down to that maybe is Wayne Goldman. Maybe he's one of the guys, all right, that Bill could come down to. But it's like, this is obviously a lie. I mean, oh, my God. Talk about just stepping in it.
Worst record since 2017 in the NFL, 22-58. the worst. Outgained in 13 of their 16 games this year. NFL offensive worst, 21 touchdowns on offense. They can't score. Now they're going to bring Daniel Jones back. I don't know if they're bringing the GM back as well. You're right. That was one question yesterday, literally, and Joe Judge, the head coach, went off on an 11-minute rant about how, the organization's headed in the right direction and everything you just said. Really, Joe? I mean, you're better off just keeping quiet. Giants are a pretty loyal organization. They won't fire you unless you give them a reason. And don't open your mouth and give them a reason. Just say, we're trying. We're doing our best. We don't have a starting quarterback. And we got two guys that have no business being in an NFL uniform. What do you want me to tell you? We can't move the ball. So 24, but that's an indictment on their offense. You and I could quarterback a team and throw for more than 24 yards. I'm sorry, in a game. That tells me the offensive coordinator is clueless. And that's what happens when you hire a special teams guy as your head coach. I mean, he has no clue on offense. He's got no clue on defense. So you rely on your offensive coordinator. They already fired Jason Garrett. That obviously wasn't the problem. What a mess. What an absolute mess. Patriots not go up to Jags. We mentioned that. Next up on the docket, Chargers beat up on the Denver Broncos. Speaking about head coaches being fired, Vic Fangio. If it was up to Joe Lisi, he would have been fired about 2 years ago. But Chargers do win. They put themselves in a position, George. They beat the Raiders, the Raiders next week, and they're in the postseason. Not bad.
Not bad. I mean, I still can't get over how they lost to Houston last week. I can't. How do you lose to a team that bad and they had 14 players on COVID? How do you lose to them? Can't happen. They're another team. I have no idea what they're going to bring up week in, week out, how good they're going to be, how poor they're going to be. You just don't know what the Chargers. The talent's there. We know they can't stop the run, but the talent is there. So I don't know what the Chargers. I've sort of given up on them. Very tough team to bet for them. I am, because I don't know what they're going to give me week in and week out. But they destroyed the Broncos yesterday. And, yes, Fangio is certainly not on Joe's Christmas card list. He will be gone. He should be gone. A lot of these guys are old-school coaches who coach the old way, and that doesn't work in today's game. You need to adapt. And very few coaches can do that here. So Fangio will be gone. They need a coach. They need a quarterback. It won't be Bridgewater. It won't be Luck. Maybe it's Rodgers. He does indeed want to get out of Green Bay. Maybe it's Wilson. I don't think so. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson. But, Joe, I'm a believer. One of the reasons why they traded Von Miller was to get extra picks so they could land one of these guys.
Yeah. And worst come to worst, it would be Jimmy G if San Francisco really wants to turn the page. I don't know. Boy, Elway can't find, outside of Peyton Manning, he has been just awful at picking quarterbacks. So Philadelphia knocks off Washington. Good comeback win for the Eagles, 20-16. Eagles clinch a playoff spot. Boy, I tell you, I never saw that. With Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, Joe, or George, I didn't see this coming. And I thought Washington had a pretty good chance to win the game yesterday, which they did. But in the end, they throw a pick in the end zone. Taylor Heineke, bad pass, thrown into double coverage. I get it. There's only 25 seconds left, but they had a chance to win after blowing an early lead. The Eagles come behind, and they win the game. Well, I can't believe Philadelphia's in a postseason. It's amazing.
I don't think I'm all that surprised. I think Philadelphia, listen, who would make it over them when you think about before the season? Minnesota, okay, they were probably a better team. We expected more from the Seahawks. They had issues. After that, there's really nobody else that really should have gotten in. So the Eagles could be there. I'm not really super shocked they get in here. That being said, I'm wondering this, and this goes to the Cowboys too. I wonder if the NFC is just not very good again, and both teams are going to get, spanked in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think the Cowboys will get spanked, but they're probably going to play the Cardinals again. They don't match up well against them. The Eagles, I think, are going to lose to whoever they play, whether it's the Bucs or the Rams. Both NFC East teams, you got two in, and then now you're going to get two out real quick.
Yeah, more than likely. You mentioned the Rams. We'll get to the Rams-Ravens game. We got Bucs-Jets to break down. Tennessee and our beloved Miami Dolphins, who laid a monster egg yesterday. What an awful performance by Miami as they get eliminated. All coming up right here, Pro Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, welcome back. Pro Football Full Circle. Scott Wetzel sitting in for Joe. He'll be back tomorrow, along with me, actually, as George and I rotate the shifts with Joe. Running down the NFL from yesterday, big day, obviously, so we're just taking it game by game. George, Rams knock off the Ravens 20-19, another team that was trailing for the most part. I'm not sure exactly how. Boy, all these people that just love Matthew Stafford. You know, we had a secondary that got torched for over 500 yards the week before, and somehow or another Matthew Stafford struggles to get the Rams a victory, but he does thanks to our old buddy Odell Beckham Jr., who comes up big on fourth down, and then the next play he scores on a touchdown pass, already five touchdown passes, which I don't know, I'm guessing, but I bet that eclipses his entire total with the Cleveland Browns. So Rams win 20-19, they get to 12-4, Ravens fall to 8-8. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, Ravens, talking about a collapse at the end here. Their secondary went down, and they went down with it. Lamar Jackson's out. Just hasn't worked out for them. You know, not going to be their year for them this year. They'll have to recuperate in the offseason to figure out where they're going to go here. The more important story is the Rams. They're going to the playoffs, but you're right. They're sort of going despite Stafford right now. They've won their last 2 weeks, and they probably should have won either game. Probably should have lost to Minnesota. Probably should have lost to Baltimore yesterday as well. So they're winning despite him right now, which can be a sign of a good team. Right, it can be, but
yeah,
if he doesn't pick it up, they're not going anywhere without a better quarterback right now. But they are, you know, they could be back-to-back weeks against San Fran, or maybe they're going to play the Eagles first round. I think they take care of business either one.
I would think so, too, as well. So Tennessee blows out Miami 34-3. They now have the number one seed in the AFC, although it's not clinched. They do clinch the AFC South due to the Titans. This thing was over from start to finish, George. I mentioned it all last week. Dolphins are the only team that had to play a road Monday night game and then on the road the following week. Now, we had Washington in that 1 week because of the coronavirus, you know, postponing a game, had to play Tuesday and then on the road the following week, and they got destroyed by Dallas. You know, so the Dolphins are doing the same thing, and they get destroyed yesterday by Tennessee. It was raining. It wasn't great weather, but you know what? Both teams play in the rain. I don't know if that scheduling thing had anything to do with the fact that the Dolphins at the beginning of the year declined the bye after coming back from Europe, and that kind of screwed up the rest of the schedule. I don't know, but I'd like to have an explanation from the NFL as a Dolphin fan telling me why the Dolphins were the only team that had back-to-back road games on a short week. So that said, Tua Tagovailoa was atrocious. Any goofy Dolphin fan, and I know a lot of them as a Dolphin myself, anybody drinking the Tua Kool-Aid over the last 7 weeks with him winning all these games, and I kept on telling people, and now listen, I was the one that was holding on to that 30-plus-to-1 ticket for them to make the postseason, but I wasn't delusional. I said they're playing lousy teams. Let's see when he plays a real team. He did yesterday, and he stunk. He's not a starting NFL quarterback, and he just isn't to me.
Yeah, when you look at his arm strength, I kind of lean towards your way of thinking here. He doesn't have great arm strength, which he's really so perfect with your accuracy. He's got better weapons around him now, so that's not the excuse anymore. Yeah, they need a better run game. That would certainly help. But, you know, you're not always going to have perfect conditions around you. I know it rained yesterday, and that was bad for him. I think you're thinking is this. I think he is a starting NFL quarterback as far as, I don't know if he's 32 better than him, but I don't think he's ever going to be above average. You know, I'm not saying he's average now. That's the issue. He's never going to be above an average. He's not never going to be an Aaron Rodgers or anybody anywhere near that. I don't know if he'll ever be a Dak Prescott, more or less anywhere that. So that's the problem. What's his upside, or is this his upside? Yeah, he's more of a game manager type there. You need to build around him. Tough choice for the Dolphins. Listen, we saw at the trade deadline, the owner there, he wanted Deshaun Watson, right? But yeah, he wanted everything to go away first, but all the charges to go away. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. All right, so it wouldn't shock me at all if they're still in play for Watson come, you know, once all these depositions go down in February, if these cases ever get solved, I think they will be in play.
Yeah. He's supposedly one of the Dolphins that draft Justin Herbert as well. He might be the only owner in the history of sports that wants things, but his GM says, I'm not doing them anyway, and the GM doesn't get fired. I mean, it's remarkable. But, yeah, it was a nice run. They made 7 straight wins. They got the juice flowing here a little bit, but I hope it ultimately doesn't mean that they want to count on him for next year because he's just not that good. Seattle blows out Detroit 51-29. Nice effort by the Seahawks. The one thing that maybe you could take out of this year for the Detroit, maybe two, you know, I think they got themselves a little bit of a running back with DeAndre Swift kind of elevated himself when he's healthy, is one of the better running backs. And this Amon-Ra St. Brown, this wide receiver, You know, he's, like, I tell you what, another touchdown yesterday. He's pretty darn good. That he's not bad. And, you know, George, I think they're using him a little bit like San Fran uses, what's his name? I'll tell you this. Yeah, Deebo Samuel. Yeah, thank you. I'm getting a brain cramp here. Deebo Samuel, in that, you know, these running backs are turning into wide receivers, and the wide receivers are now turning into running backs. You know, they're handing the ball off to some of these wide receivers just to get them more touches, which I think is actually pretty smart. You know, that's been the one thing that these wide receivers are crying about, right? They don't want to touch the football 5 to 7 times. They want to touch it 10 to 15 times. And if it means handing the ball off, as they did yesterday with Brown, you know what? More power to them in my eyes.
Oh, I agree. Listen, you got someone who has a skill set, get the ball in their hands as much as possible. I don't care how. You want the ball in their hands. So I think what San Fran, what Shanahan's done with Deebo has been fantastic. So, yeah, I'm all for that. If you have a dynamic player, you got to do what you got to do. They're the ones that are going to make game-breaking plays here. And when you line these guys up in the backfield, it just changes the way defense have to attack them. You know, so or defense set up for them. So I like the way they've done here as well, and I think we're going to see more of it.
Yep. Arizona beats Dallas 25-22. They improve to 11-5. Dallas drops to 11-5. Key play, end of the game. Probably would have been ruled a fumble. Dallas didn't have any timeouts left, so they couldn't challenge. And within 2 minutes, so it wasn't an automatic review. I've seen lesser plays get reviewed regardless, but they decided not to. That would have turned the ball over. Who knows if Dallas would have scored or not. I'm guessing they probably would have at least kicked a field goal, to tell you the truth. But, you know, ultimately, the big picture is Dallas didn't play well in a game that they should have won.
Oh, you're 100% correct. Right? Dallas came out flat again. You know, going into the week with the Cowboys, when they're playing well, they're as dangerous as anybody. But you just don't know. Dak has just looked off again with his accuracy, his confidence, whatever it might be, just looked off. I don't know what's going on with Dak. I don't. It's been all season long. You were hoping as a Cowboy fan that last week against Washington, when he blasted then, that would carry over. It did not. They lose Gallup for the year with the ACL injury off a touchdown catch at that. What a shame. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You know, now you have to sign a 1-year make good deal and then go into free agency at the next season. So, brutal loss all around for the Cowboys. They play what's pretty much a meaningless game against the Eagles on Saturday night. ESPN gets a cookie there because it's Dallas, so the ratings will be high. But doesn't mean much for Dallas. They can move up maybe one spot in the seedings here, but they're on a collision course. Odds are they're facing the Cardinals again in that wild card round, or if they don't face the Cardinals, then it'll just be the Rams. This is getting any easier with them either. But it's looking like Cowboys and Cardinals, round one, a repeat in Texas.
How about that catch on the fake punt by Arizona with that wide receiver? Wow, was that something? That was one of the greatest catches I have ever seen. I mean, that was just phenomenal, wasn't it?
Mind you, Tyree.
Yeah, Tyree. Right. Yeah, David Tyree.
Mind you, Tyree. Yeah. It was
really even better.
Either way, they were getting the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And probably just a tad better, or at least really similar anyway. But it was the same type of thing. Ball against the defensive back of Dallas, and it was falling to the ground. He was able to hold on to it, so first down. But you're right, it would have been pass interference anyway. So that was a good gutsy win. And, you know, I had a thought, George, that Arizona would play a little better. You know, things went so bad their preceding game against Indianapolis. You know, Prater's a pretty good field goal kicker, misses a couple of field goals, penalties, this, that. You know, to me, looked like they hit rock bottom. This was a moment of truth game. If they would have lost this game, it would have really sent them reeling. And I don't have a lot of faith in the Arizona Cardinals, but I did have enough in them yesterday. It just all the dominoes seemed to line up for a monster effort by Arizona.
Yeah, and Arizona's always had something against Dallas. Kyler Murray is, 8-0 now in Jerry's world there, so he has no problems playing there. And he just sort of knew the Cowboys would come up small here. I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan, either you're an optimist or a pessimist here. You know, if you're, like I said, the pessimist points out everything we pointed out. Dak played poorly, defense played poorly. I mean, a lot of long drives here. They miss a field goal here, two fourth down conversions, including the one you're talking about here. The optimist points out everything that went wrong yesterday, yet they only lost by 3 points. And you put up the fact that they should have gotten the ball back. A lot of that's on McCarthy, because once again, that's why you have to have a timeout there. So you can review the play, but they should have gotten the ball back there. You make all those mistakes. The officiating wasn't great again. So, you go, okay, we'll take them. We'll take our chance when we go back to to play them in the wild card round. But it's the most important thing for Dallas, they can't run the ball. They can't run the ball one little lick, not at all.
Yeah, it's amazing with Ezekiel Elliott and power in the backfield. It's remarkable. Green Bay last night beat up Minnesota 37-10. Matt LaFleur, now head coach of the Packers, 39-9, best 48-game start in NFL history. They improved to 13-3. They clinched the number one seed now in the NFC. So next week's game for them is meaningless. Vikings fall to 7-9. They're eliminated from playoff contention. And another one of those head coaches that figures to get fired, Mike Zimmer. You know, in some ways, I feel bad for him, George. And in other ways, I say, boy, there's just too much talent on that team to be 7-9. I know Kirk Cousins sucks. I've never been a Kirk Cousins fan. I get that. But, boy, when you look at the wideouts and you look at the backfield, and I know injuries, but Madison's pretty good. They should not be a 7-9 football team. And that's what they basically are every single year. I don't know what's going wrong because Zimmer's a pretty good head coach, but it just hasn't happened for them.
I like Mike Zimmer, but he's stuck. He's stuck as old-time head coach. And too many times he's punting the football away and doing this, doing that. You wonder why you lose all these one-score games. Now, last night you didn't have a snowball's chance in hell last night. Not with Mannion and Mon. Yeah. And that comment after the game actually made me laugh. By the way, do you want to see Mon next week? No, I've seen enough of him. Wow. Okay.
And then we got Chris Collinsworth last night saying, "Boy, this Sean Mannion, he's pretty good." I got to tell, like, again, you know, I generally like Collinsworth, but boy, these last few weeks, he has said some dumb things. I'm like, what game are you watching? I mean, how desperate are you to keep an audience? You're trying to sell us on this guy being good. You know, they had one first down in their first five possessions. What are you talking about? He's awful. Can't throw the ball, for goodness sakes. He's telling me how good he is. And yeah, that was funny about the Mon comment too. Yeah. What are they going to do? You know, the guy, it's strange. He played like the next to last. It's weird. It was 30-3. Vikings scored. If you didn't stay up to watch the end of the game, they scored to make it 30-10. And there's like 4 minutes left. And then he puts Mon in. Yeah. Then they get the ball back again, and then he puts Mannion back in. So it's like, well,
yeah. Apparently, Mannion was only out because of an injury. He had a hand injury. Oh. That's why he didn't. Oh, he didn't okay, put Mon. Okay. I thought the same thing. You bring Mon in after the touchdown pass. How does that make?
Yeah, yeah, right. The guy finally has some success, and now you're gonna bench him. You know, talk about Pavlov's dogs going the wrong way. I mean, what message are you sending? So, okay.
He's trying that center again. Though. That center who made that play off the deflected ball,
that was great.
Like the immaculate reception. That was a great play, man. He's rumbling down the field.
I was waiting for NBC to give us that highlight. You know, they brought it up in the broadcast. But, you know, if they would have been like a side-by-side, I mean, it was nearly identical. The center, if you,
I thought
you know,
so, too.
Ball was deflected, and he got it just like Franco Harris did, right? About a foot or so off the ground. Then he rumbled down if he didn't score a touchdown like Franco did, but he got it inside the red zone. So that was pretty funny. Yeah, it really was. It leads to the touchdown, right. They're their only touchdown. So not nearly enough, obviously. It's 37-10. The Packers do win. All right, quick break. We'll wrap up shop. We'll just get an overview on what happened yesterday. You get some predictions for tonight's football game. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Last game for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Right here on football, Pro Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up shop here. Scott Wetzel sitting in for Joe, who'll be back tomorrow. And George here taking you right up until 1 o'clock. And then George and I will be back at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Filling in for a couple of folks, Brian Blessing. So wrapping up shop yesterday, George, you know, I'll just say, you know, my 33-1 ticket on the Cincinnati Bungles I gave out a few months back, cha-ching, cha-ching, people laughed at me with that. The one with the Miami Dolphins, unfortunately, did not come through, but we gave it a nice little run. They went a little bit further than most people thought. It should be a great game next week, Chargers and Raiders. I think in the end, the Colts will find a way to win. Packers number one. And I got to tell you, after watching Tampa Bay now struggle for a couple of weeks in a row, or at least two out of 3 weeks, I don't see anybody beating Green Bay in the NFC. You know, NFC's got some good teams, Rams and Arizona and Dallas, but you know what? Going into Lambeau, this just seems like the year. And what a way, you know, that really does pave the way for Aaron Rodgers to leave if he really wants to as well. So I think in the end, I think the Packers are winning it all.
I mean, once again, that's the way I would go as well. I mean, beating Green Bay and Green Bay is never easy. Tampa Bay did pull it off last year, although there were a couple of weird plays in that game that allowed them to. You know, that touchdown at the end of the half that never should have happened. Aaron Rodgers not running for that touchdown, which I think he would have gotten later in the game there. So, yeah, I think Green Bay is going to – this is their year, and it'll be an interesting offseason storyline all year long. Win or lose the Super Bowl, is Rodgers staying? Is he going? You know, where is he going? Yeah, what's going to happen, that sort of thing here. I'm as curious as anybody else there what's going to go on there. I don't think they're a great team. I think they can be beaten pretty much by all the teams you mentioned here, but it won't be easy. That's the thing. It won't be easy. You can double cover Adams. You can triple cover Adams. They got a two-pronged running game that's really good with Jones and Dillon. They just make it work. They just make it work there. I like Green Bay as well to go.
Big Ben goes off tonight. 1.5 passes, 22 completions, only 225 yards, 35 yards passing. You think Ben goes off tonight?
No. I think they're going to keep him in check, but they win the game.
Wow, I love Ben's passing marks all tonight. Last game, oh, yeah, he's thrown for 350 yards. He is. All right, folks, have yourselves a great Monday right here on Pro Football Full Circle.